The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these ones because the little one is a disciple, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew. And on first reading, it can be very bewildering. It might even be disturbing when you read it first. Whoever loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The great danger is that we tend to accept the Word of God in a literal and superficial way, rather than look deeper for a more profound and enduring teaching. So let me look at this gospel and wonder with you what this strange gospel reading might mean in our lives. I've been following Ignatian spirituality for more than 50 years. And the manner in which St. Ignatius, in his spiritual exercises, will approach this gospel is first to engage what he calls the prayer of consideration. This means to consult the scholars, look at the language of the gospel. When Jesus first preached this, he spoke in Aramaic. Aramaic was the common language of the time of Jesus. He also would know Hebrew in order to read the Jewish scriptures. And in Luke's gospel, we are told he read the scriptures from Isaiah the prophet in the synagogue. So he had to know Hebrew. He might also have known some Koine Greek, common Greek. This was the lingua franca at the time. It was the language of commerce. And so we have something spoken Aramaic, translated into Greek, the Gospels written in Greek. And about the year 400, St. Jerome translated the Greek into Latin. And then we have from Latin into English. So we're somewhat removed from the original proclamation that Jesus makes, and therefore, Ignatius will say, you must consult the scholars. Go back and reflect on the words. Look at the context in which the words were shaped. The Gospel of Matthew was shaped around the year 90. And around the year 90, the early Christians were persecuted. They were heavily burdened. And therefore, the radical nature of this language fits what might have been true in the year 90. Anybody who began to follow Christ would have rejected the Hebrew tradition, would be ostracized from society and persecuted. I remember when I was in Calcutta, a man in the neighborhood became a Catholic and the people killed him. When he became a Catholic, he embraced something Western. He renounced his Hindu religion. He renounced his culture. And he separated from his family. And therefore, he was ostracized and he was murdered in his own community. Something like this might be true way back when the Gospel of Matthew was formed around the year 90. So how do we lift it from its time and bring it into the present moment? And Ignatius will say, we move from the prayer of consideration with the scholars and the context and tradition and the language of the gospel. We move from consideration, we move to contemplation. We reflect on it in a deeper and more profound way. We look for a meaning beyond the superficial and beyond the obvious. And therefore, what it meant when it was shaped and what it means now might be something quite different. The teaching of it in the present moment has to do with what I call passages in life. Nobody's life is static. We're all changing, we're all moving. We're all growing or declining, but nothing is static. And therefore, when we reflect on this gospel and its meaning, we're looking at passages in life. A young person searching, confused, somewhat lost perhaps, seeking a deeper meaning in life, searching for some stability in life, some place which is enduring. Passages in life, divorce, remarriage, these are passages. Sickness, the death of somebody close to us, loneliness, alienation, all passages in life. Aging is a passage in life. I know about that. This gospel has to do with passages. How to bring meaning into the passages of life. We are told in ancient monastic life about the young monk who came to the abbot. And he asked the abbot, where shall I find enlightenment? And the abbot said, go to your cell. Your cell will teach you everything you need to know about your life. In the present moment, go to your home. When you're at home, that's when you're real. When we're out in society, we're different. Sometimes when we're at home, that's the true person. So the abbot says, go to your cell, go to your home. Then you'll find out who you really are and what passage is part of your journey. Reading the gospel, it says, reflecting on your passages in life, put Jesus Christ first. And then things will fall into place. If you put other things first, you will have confusion, alienation, and misunderstanding. You'll have wounds which need to be healed, places which need to be forgiven. Put Jesus Christ first, and then things will fall into place. Prayer, when we come to prayer, prayer seldom is meant to reach the result for which we pray. Prayer changes us. When we pray in a serious way, praying, we change. Prayer sets us free. Prayer gives us courage. Prayer allows Jesus Christ into our life to give us meaning in life, to put things into perspective. The first energy of prayer is that I change within myself when I pray. So the gospel reading is saying, put prayer into your life and let Jesus Christ be the first in your life, and then somehow life will fall into perspective and you will have order in your life. I mean, with prayer, when you are transformed, you will forgive. When you are transformed, you will be generous. When you are transformed, you will notice the poor. When you are transformed, you will bless people, you will be generous, and you will be sharing because you have prayed and you have become transformed. When you become transformed, your life will change. Your home will change. Your family will change because you changed. That's the meaning of the gospel in the present day. Whatever it meant back in the time of Matthew, in the year 90, in the present age, we must translate this teaching into the present moment and say, what does this mean to us? Put Jesus Christ first in your life, and then your life will be orderly, meaningful. Your life will have vision. Your life will have community. Your life will have understanding and forgiveness. The bonds which are broken will be healed if we put Jesus Christ first. The richness of forgiving or asking for forgiveness will come to life if you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Not the cares of the world, not my demands, not my priorities, but Jesus Christ first in my life. Then my aging person, it will be free. No fear, no anxiety, because I put Jesus Christ first. Many of you may be familiar with Seamus Heaney, legendary Irish poet who won the Nobel Prize. He died in 2013. Spent a lot of time in the United States. And on his grave, the marker has one line from one of his poems. The Gravel Walks, there's a poem, which he selected for a marker on his grave. And it says, walk on air against your better judgment. A poetic way of saying, hey, if you follow Jesus Christ and not the things of the world, you will be free. Walk on air against your better judgment, not so practical in life, but impractically following Jesus Christ. You walk on air and you can receive an understanding of life, an energy of life that the world cannot give you. Money can't buy. Popularity won't deliver. Health and so forth. Yes, I'm talking about the spirit. So listen to the poetic Seamus Heaney. Not to be so practical, but to be spiritual. So walk on air against your better judgment. Amen.